Well, Hebrews chapter number 12, if you found your place, let's go and stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 12. Chapter number 12 starts with this word, wherefore. Wherefore. I don't have time to go back and preach chapter number 11 this evening. It is a wonderful chapter, but it brings in everything from the previous chapter into this chapter, and we're going to have to deal with that. So we'll get there and we'll deal with it. We'll bring it in and bring in the context and all that. But it starts off with wherefore. So after everything that's been happening in chapter number 11, he says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This evening, I want to take a few minutes and try to be an encouragement to you, try to challenge you. You know, this morning we talked about the access that we have to God and all that has happened and done in our lives through Jesus Christ, the work that was done on the cross. So tonight, I want to look at this thought. So now a Christian. Now what? Now I'm a Christian. Now what? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you allow us to have here this evening. Thank you for the truth of your word that we can not only glean and grow in, but we can also be encouraged and challenged by. Father, we know your word isn't just given to us for us to gain knowledge about the writers or knowledge about just a message to people that have long since passed. But Father, you have a message for us today. Father, you have principles for us to learn and grow in. Father, you want us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. So, Father, tonight with this passage, I pray that you would help us to be attentive to your word. Father, I pray that you would help us allow you to work in our lives as only you can. And Father, the work that you desire to do in and through us. So Father, I pray that you be glorified this evening, or glorified in the preaching, but also glorified in the listening and in the obeying. So Father, we thank you for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's so much that goes on in life. There's a change, and I love the way Corinthians puts it, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And we understand that, and the more I've been saved, the more I've been able to study and see all that God does in salvation. I tell you what, I'm glad I didn't have to learn all of that before I got saved. No, I can just have the childlike faith, and trust in Jesus Christ, and then all the things that comes with it, and all the ways that Jesus worked in our life. And we learn about words like justification, and what a wonderful thing that happens at the moment of salvation, that we are justified. Praise the Lord. I hope you're praise the Lord for it. I'm thankful for it. And then we start learning how that we are a child of God, and that we're adopted. We're adopted into the family of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Wow, what an amazing thing that happens at the moment of salvation. Truly is glorious. Unfortunately, in today's time, I believe churches are filled with far too many people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and become the end of their journey instead of the beginning of their journey. Because salvation is truly the beginning of a Christian's journey, not the end of a journey. It is the end of ourselves, but it's the beginning of new life that He has for us. So if it's beginning of new life, now what? What is this life that we get to run? And that's what the writer of Hebrews here is talking about. And so he's getting in and he's liking our Christian life to a race. And so no doubt in I believe it's Paul that wrote Hebrews. If you don't agree with me, it's okay. It's okay. We can fellowship. It's all right. But as the writer of Hebrews is writing, I think what's in his mind is maybe like the Olympic Games. And he's watching some equivalent, maybe the Greek Games or maybe some of the other games that were around. And that's what's in his mind as he's writing here. And he's saying that we're in a race and that we're to run this race. And what an amazing race this is. And we get to run this. And we're going to talk about this through our time here this evening. But I tell you what, just as God has a race for us to run, we could say it this way, that a race is a way of living. Okay? It's an illustration to say this race that you're on is a way of living the Christian life. But just as there's a race that God wants us to run, there's a race that the world is running right now. I think we all can understand that, right? We understand that there's many that are running a race today that are running after money. They're running after success. They're running after status or bigger houses or newer cars or more possessions. I think we understand that tonight. The race the world runs. The difference about this type of race that the world runs is that even when people win, they're empty. The world says, run faster, get more, climb higher, outdo everyone else. But after all the striving, after all the anxiety, yes, the anxiety that running the race of this world brings with it, because there's so many people in today's age, they're just filled with anxiety running the world's race. They're filled with exhaustion, competition, that after all of these things, many discover that they spend their entire lives chasing things that are temporary, that they don't last. You say, well, their possessions last until they die, but wait a minute, we already understand life doesn't end at death. In physical ways, no, our spirit lives on. And so there is life after death in one of two places. That's what you believe, right? Okay, making sure I'm in the right place, brother. All right. So we have this, and they're running in so much, but everything they get is temporary. It's things that rust away, moths eat up, the thieves steal. Are you with me here tonight? Okay, so we've got all these things that become temporary. Because they break down and people steal them and they go outdated. And you know, I think I'm in the right crowd to say, my kids talked about, they saw this big brick at the thrift store. And they go, is that cassette tape? I said, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, for movies. And I told them, I was like, you'll never understand the please be kind and rewind. You'll never understand those things. Things that are way outdated. I know, those teenagers are like, I don't know what you're talking about. They had a phone. We were at some Oregon Trail Days up in Oregon, and they had a phone, a rotary phone, that kids could call the number and get the weather. And it was a working rotary phone. It was amazing how many kids watching it. I was trying to tell my kids, you go all the way around and let it go. And then all the way around and let it go. And it was funny watching them. And things get outdated, don't they? Things get outdated. I remember the first cell phone I had. The Nokia brick. Things get outdated. People are striving after things that in the end are just temporary. God never intended for us to run the race of the world, to live with the anxiety and exhaustion and all the things that come with this type of life, with all the striving and all the competition. God never intended that for our life. God never intended that. God wants us to live a different life. His race that He's called us to run, the way of living the Christian life, He's called us to run a race of faith. Faith. He's called us to run a race of endurance. He's called us to run a race that isn't necessarily going to be seen with the rewards in the here and the now, but then are going to be seen for all of eternity. The true rewards that are in heaven, where thieves can't break through and steal, where moss and rust can't corrupt in any of those things. No, they're going to last forever. So even though we may not have them in the temporary time, we get to have them for all of eternity. What a wonderful thing. That's God's intent. That's God's purpose for the Christian life. And the Christian life, it's not about competing with others. No, no, the Christian life is about faithfully following Christ. Faithfully following Christ. Unlike the race of the world, the Christian race actually leads somewhere. You say, preacher, where does it lead? It leads to souls being saved. It leads to lives being changed. It leads to eternal rewards. And ultimately, it leads to the presence of Jesus Christ for all of eternity. So here in Hebrews chapter number 12, the writer here pictures the Christian life as a race. Not a sprint, but a marathon. A marathon. And he teaches here how to run in a way that we can finish well. Because at the end of our time, through our Christian life, we want to get to the end, we want to get before Christ, and we want to hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear. We want to be able to see the rewards that we get to lay at Jesus' feet, not for our glory, but for the glory of God. Do we not? We can say, well, yes, yes, that's my desire, preacher. Yes, yes, that's what I'm talking about. But then how? How do we get from salvation? How do we get in our Christian life? How do we get to the end and be able to look back and say, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've run the Christian race. And now I can hear, well done. How do we get there? Well, I'm so thankful that the writer of Hebrews gives us instructions. Amen? He gives us instructions for it. He gives us three things that we need to consider so that we can actually finish the race well. Very essential instructions. The first one is this. Consider your encouragement. Okay, I want you to look at verse 1. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's what it says. So the word wherefore obviously connects, like I already said, Hebrews chapter 11 to Hebrews chapter number 12. So what is going on in Hebrews chapter number 11? If you are a Bible scholar, have been in church for very long, we understand that Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of faith. You did not? Oh, faith. It's a chapter of faith. It'll say this, by faith, and then list what's happened. By faith, by faith, by faith. We get the definition of faith out of Hebrews chapter number 11. It is the chapter of faith. So if it's the chapter of faith, and it's showing us all of these things, here is the people that said, I can't see the end, but I'm gonna have faith in my God that what He says is true, and I'm going to live accordingly. By faith, Noah. Do you think he had to live accordingly? Noah, there's going to be rain. Yes, Lord. What is rain? I've never seen it. Okay, Lord. Build a boat. Okay. I can't get it to the water. Oh, you're not going to. Water's coming to you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, here's all the dimensions. Lord, I'm one man. I have three boys. But this is a big boat. Yes, sir. What a task. What a task. I think by about year 20, I would struggle. Okay, we know I wouldn't make it that far. By about year 2. God, I haven't even got half the lumber done yet to make the boat, let alone started making the boat. But wait a minute. By faith, Noah. By faith, Noah, he built the boat. He witnessed to the people saying, this is what's coming. And there's room on the ark. But they wouldn't listen. Wonder how long it was until he stopped crying. As the door was shut and the rain was flowing, and he heard the screams of the people he tried to reach. I don't think he was callous to the people at all. How did he get where he was? He lived by faith. He said, I can't see what's coming, but I've heard what you've said, and I believe what you said is true, and I'm going to act accordingly. I'm going to obey. That's faith. Faith isn't blind faith that we just go, oh, well, okay, I'm going to take a step here. No, faith is saying is hearing what God has said. And God has given us His Word on how we should live. And by faith says, God, this is what you've said. Then this is how I'm going to walk. I don't see how it's going to work out in the end. I don't know why you say put these things in place in my life. I don't know why you want me to have these standards. But by faith, God, you want me to do it. This is how I'm going to live. I'm going to live by faith. So there's people of faith. And all these people that are in Hebrews chapter number 11. And we see people like Abraham and Moses. Can you imagine Moses growing up in Pharaoh's court, and he's growing up there with Pharaoh and all the Egyptians and all the life of luxury, one of the richest kingdoms in the world, especially at that time. And then all of a sudden he says, no, I'm going to reject all of that. I'm going to suffer with the people of God. Why? Well, he's going to do that because he says this. He says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. In verse number 26, he says this, so the reward of what is to come following God is far greater than anything this world has to offer. And he had everything at his disposal. He says, I trust God over me. I trust God over the world is teaching. Listen, what the world is teaching today is not different than what the world was teaching way back then. We see these people of faith. Listen, these are not just historical figures. No. These are testimonies of people. Do you hear the testimony in it? You hear the testimony of those that are saying, listen, I trusted God and He didn't fail. We can say this, that He said, I trusted God and He worked it out. I couldn't do it, but I followed Him and what He said, and He accomplished great things, not because of how good I am, not because of how talented I am, but because of how great God is. The cloud of witnesses is not a stadium of spectators seeing if you're going to succeed or fail. No, the cloud of witnesses are those running in encouragement. And if you allow it and you get into the Word, you're able to hear those who are saying, I trust your God and it's worth it. And they're running alongside you saying, keep going. Don't quit now. Don't stop trusting God in this hour. No, see it through. Go to the end. God will not fail you. That's what He's getting at. He's saying, don't give up in it. Let the encouragement, let those stories inspire you. Well, let the stories and the testimonies ring true in your heart, because we can look around and we can say, why is it worth it to live for God today? Look at the wickedness of the world. Look at all the things that are going on. And if we're not careful, we can want to sit down and we want to cross our arms. We want to hide in isolation and say, oh, they deserve whatever they get. Lord, help us. No, God has a purpose for our life. God has a race for our life. He has a way of living. And he's saying, I want you to live by faith. Here's the encouragement. Here's those that have done it. And they're encouraging and they're cheering you on. We need encouragement, amen? We need that. We need those to come up and say, don't quit now. Keep going. Keep trusting God. He has never failed. Well, this will be the encouragement we get right here in the Word of God. It's the cloud of witnesses. It's a gallery of testimonies declaring it can be done. You have to understand, they ran, they endured, they finished. Can you imagine? I want you to imagine like this. How do you put yourselves in? And you're going in. Well, you know, maybe it's kind of like Cooperstown. Or you're going to the NFL Hall of Fame and you're walking in and you start seeing all the plaques. But instead of football players, instead of baseball players, you start seeing plaques of men of God. And here's what it says on one plaque. You turn over and it says, I trusted God when it didn't make sense. The one over here says, I obeyed when it was hard. And yet another one says, I endured even when I wanted to quit. And God took care of it. God was true. That's Hebrews 11. Okay, preacher. So Hebrews 11 brought up with Hebrews chapter 12 brings us right here. There's times that you're going to feel like quitting. Not when, not if. It's not if, it's when. There are many times you're going to feel like quitting. There's many times that something's going to ruffle your feathers. Some Christian is going to do something not Christian. I know. Horrible. It's hypocrites. Sinners be sinners. We're all being transformed into the image of Christ. We're not Christ yet. We're not perfect. But when you feel like quitting, I want you to remember this. Remember, you're not the first to struggle. And you won't be the last. I want you to know others have walked through deeper valleys than you're walking through. I know it's hard to believe. Because you feel like whatever's happened to you is the worst that could ever have happened to somebody. Can I tell you, there's been deeper valleys people have gone through. So the writer here, he says, you need encouragement. You need inspiration to keep going. Why? Because you're in a marathon. If running was easy, everyone would do it. I don't run. Why? Because it's hard and I don't like it. I run from dogs when I have to. And I have barely escaped a Rottweiler. But praise the Lord. I have all my limbs and toes and fingers. But running's hard. It's exhausting. There are times in the Christian life where you feel like it's just uphill. We stayed at a place in San Diego, and I have video evidence. We drive up and we go to the person's neighborhood, and all of a sudden in front of us is a hill, and my car goes like this. It was about a 65 degree angle, straight up to the top of this hill. And it's just every day back and forth on this hill. And when you go down, you're just like, woo! It's like a roller coaster. I'm like, oh, Lord, don't let my brakes fail now. Right? And I thought about, man, what would it be like walking that hill? I don't think I'd want to. Ride bike down? Maybe. Pretty scary. But sometimes the Christian life feels like we're just going uphill, doesn't it? That we're just going, and every step is like super weighty. We're struggling. Other times it feels like it's going downhill and we're just trying to slow down life. Feel like we're just going to trip and roll the whole way down. Have you ever thought that before? Been in like a stadium and you feel like if you trip on one step and the steps are never even. I think they do that on purpose. But every step you feel like if you just trip once, you're going all the way down. Man, it's scary. Yet that can be what it's like in the Christian life sometimes. We need encouragement. We need those encouraging us, don't quit. That's why we have to stay in the Word. Hear the testimonies from those that have trusted God and seen God has seen them through. They ran, they endured, they finished, and so can you. And I wish I could stop right there and say that's all that's necessary. I wish I could say the encouragement and the inspiration is all you need. But there's not enough inspiration. There's not enough encouragement to get you all the way to the end. Because you can be inspired and still be hindered. So he goes on. So he says there's a cloud of witnesses. Then in the rest of verse number one, he says this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. You can be inspired but still hindered by weights and sins. So what are weights and sins? Weights would be considered things that are not sinful but that slow us down. So a weight is something harmful to your progress. Good things that have become bad because they slow you down. Okay, I love being a parent, I love being a dad, and there was times where I went away to work and I'd come back home and they'd run and they'd greet me and they'd hug me, and then they would do what every kid does eventually, right? They slide down the leg and hold on for dear life. And when you get more than one, then you get both legs tied down. And they're holding on with all their might. And so, you know, at the first, you know, they're young enough, you just take big steps and you're like, yeah. And then they start growing on you. And then you're trying to slide your feet and you're trying to get through. Why can't I just walk normal? Why can't I run? Because they're heavy. There's weights on my legs. Yeah, we do that in our Christian life. We have things that we allow. I hear this all the time. But preacher, it's not in the Word of God. It's not a sin. Okay. Bible takes care of it. It's weights. It is hindering your progress. And there's times in life that God's saying, I want you to lay this aside. No, I want you to lay this type of entertainment aside. Oh, this time that you're spending, it's like a pit of time that you're spending on social media, or you're spending with this entertainment, or you're spending with, and you can fill in the blank, and it's rearranging your priorities, and it's changing your life. And he says, I want you to lay it aside. Preacher's not sinful. I didn't say it was sinful. It's hindering your progress. It's taking time away from growing in the Word of God. It's taking away from prayer time. It's taking away from time on visitation. It's taking away from time with your family. It takes away from time for you to study, to teach a Sunday school class. We're taking things away for you to be an encouragement to others and go visit someone. Listen, it's hindering and slowing your progress for the Christian life. God says lay it aside. The second things are this. It's sins. I don't think I have to explain sins to you. A sin is a sin, right? And here it says a sin is something which entangles, traps, and trips you, right? So the phrase easily beset means that it has wrapped around you tightly, okay? Can you run if you're wrapped tightly? Something wrapped around you? No. Back when I was a teenager and going into college, we would go to youth rallies. And at youth rallies, they would do something really cool. I think you got to bring it back. and that was the toilet paper mummy. You remember that? Here it is, and you get a bunch of people around, and you just You know, toilet paper, it's not 2020 anymore. Toilet paper's come back down in price. We're okay. It's not gold. So they would wrap it around this person. And then they would say, okay, you got to wrap it around them. And then you're spin around and then they're going to go. And they got to make it to the other side or whatever. I can't tell you how much thrill I've gotten by watching them fall on their face. They just got to go for it. Especially guys. They think, I got this. And it's boom. Straight to the ground. It's awesome. I've had way too much fun with it. Way too much laughter has been spent on that. If you do it, video it for me. So you do that. And you're like, wait, it's this little thin piece of toilet paper. You can break it easily. Unfortunately, that's sometimes how sin gets into our life. It's not that big a deal. It's just this little sin. And it starts wrapping around you. But the more it wraps around and the more it wraps around, it entangles you. And before long, you're covered from head to toe in it. And it's no longer just one thin little paper anymore. Now it's all come together. And you find yourself flat on your face with sin. Sin will always bring you down. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to run the Christian race. How am I going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if I'm being tangled up in sin? God says, lay it aside. No. Stop excusing it. No, stop trying to manage it and lay it aside. Lay it aside. So, can I ask you? What are you carrying that God has asked you to lay aside? What habit is slowing your spiritual progress? What keeps tripping you up? For some, it's going to be bitterness. For others, it's distractions. Others, it's secret sin. For some, it's going to be misplaced priorities in their life. But here's the truth. You cannot run effectively while holding on to what God has said to lay aside. Lay it aside. Be decisive tonight. So he's saying this. So I want to encourage you. And I want you to be inspired and encouraged along your journey. And you need that. And I've given you the Word of God to be able to help you in that. And then he says, I need you to examine your life. And I need you, as I work on your life, I need you to lay those things aside. Stop running with a bag of bricks on your back and lay it aside and let's run the race. So you have encouragement, you have examination. And then the last thing he says is this, look to Jesus. Because you've lost concentration. You've lost concentration. You know, they say for a runner, I've already admitted to you, I'm not a runner. I don't run unless I have to. But a runner that looks back loses speed. A runner that looks to the side loses direction. I can attest to that because when I look to the side in the car and try to look around, the car starts going like this. Starts going all over. My wife's like, concentrate, focus, focus. Keep your eyes back on the road. You lose direction when you start looking to the side. But a runner that looks to the finish line gains focus. Gains focus. Listen, that's what he wants to do. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he shows how Jesus did it and gives us his example. And he's saying this, so we look under that example. And as we keep our eyes on the finish line, we keep our eyes on Christ. We keep our eyes on the one who God is making us like, and he's transforming our lives into the image of Christ. and we keep our eyes focused on eternity, we keep our eyes focused where they ought to be, everything else starts taking shape. Instead of looking back and looking on our past and looking at all the failures that we've had and saying, how can I go forward for Christ because of all the failures? Because I'm a big failure. Listen, come to Christ and let Him show you victory. You're not a failure with Christ. No, He makes you victorious because He is already victorious. Listen, when you stop looking at your past and then making excuses and losing speed in your Christian life and not gaining where you need to be, focus back on Christ. Stop looking at the sides and stop looking at the world things over here and the things over here and get distracted by every little thing. Stop getting distracted by sports. Stop getting distracted by entertainment. Stop getting distracted by all the things that are around you and the things that you want and focusing on self. And stop getting distracted with all those things because you've completely lost your direction. Focus on Christ. And when you focus on Christ and keep your eyes on Him, priorities are put in place. When you keep your focus on Christ, you understand it's not about you, it's all about Him. When you keep your focus on Christ, you understand that life here is not about the temporary things. No, my job isn't just to make me money to provide for my family. It's my mission field that God has placed me at. And I better be a witness. No, it's God understanding, God showing you and you understanding that the family God has given to you to raise in the right way, to lead in the right direction. To be the spiritual leader, life starts coming into place when we keep our eyes on Christ. But life gets all out of sorts when we look sideways and are distracted or we look back. At the end of life, no one will stand before God and wish they had more time running the world's race. And here's what I mean by that. You're not going to hear people say, you know what, I really wish I worried more throughout the rest of my life. I really wish that's what I would have spent my time doing. There's not going to be people that say, you really wish I would have accumulated more stuff. No. We're in a pandemic of stuff. No one's going to say, I wish I would have spent more life chasing temporary things that are going to last for pleasure for a moment and they're gone. And that's all that I get. No one's going to wish they spent more time doing that. No. Because the world offers satisfaction and leaves people exhausted, distracted, and spiritually empty. But Christ, He offers something different. He offers you purpose. He offers you meaning in life. He offers you eternal reward. So tonight, maybe you need to come to the Lord and say this, Lord, I've been distracted. I've not kept my focus on You. Maybe you come to the Lord and say, I've been carrying things I should have laid aside. And I'm holding on to them. They're in my backpack. And I don't want to give them up. What I like to do. God's saying, lay it aside. Maybe someone's here and they're saying, I'm about to quit. I'm about to be done. You need to be reminded tonight. And so many testimonies that say, don't quit. Trust God more. Keep going. Keep running. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep going. Maybe you just need to come to the Lord tonight and say, I've taken my eyes off of You. I focus too much on my past. I focus too much on the world, and I've come to the conclusion, what's the use? I don't understand the Christian life. I don't understand why God wants me to do things. God's just asking you to do this. Live by faith. By faith, believe what God has said and walk in His ways. See, I don't understand His ways. We don't have to understand it to follow it. Understanding will come. Follow God today. So where are you at in your Christian life? You say, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now how do I run the Christian race? Well, you're going to need encouragement. You're going to need to lay some things aside. And you're going to have to keep your eyes on Christ. That's it. You say, well, what about doing all the things and reading my Bible every day and having the right standards and having the right priorities and all the things. I don't know how all the things. No. Start by following Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. He'll guide you every step of the way. When you're yielded and keep your eyes on Christ, the Christian life will be lit up and you will know exactly which way to go. Just listen to those encouraging you. Lay aside the things God doesn't want you to have. And keep your eyes on Christ. That is the Christian life. Father, thank you for the time you've given to us tonight. Thank you for the truths of your word. Father, I pray that as you've spoken tonight, I pray that you would help us to not let it be another time where we've heard your word and let it go in one ear and out the other. Father, help it not to be another time where we're only hearers of your word. And Father, I pray that tonight your people would start right now, tonight, either at their pew or at an old-fashioned altar, and be doers of your word. Father, if there is something specific that you've laid on someone's heart to lay aside, Father, I pray that tonight they would lay it aside and leave it at the altar. Father, I pray, Lord, that those that have been distracted and taken their eyes off of you, that tonight they would bring back focus and focus on you and allow you to be their guide in this Christian life so that one day we can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I pray for those here tonight that have been going up the hill and they've been struggling in their Christian life and they've gone through struggles and trials. Father, they need to hear your encouragement. Father, I pray that you would encourage them tonight not to quit. That we would surround them as a church to be able to say, keep going. Keep trusting God. He'll see you through. So, Father, give us the patience to run. Father, help us to lay things aside and focus on you. We pray that your will would be done and that you would be glorified in our response to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.